Aren't you glad He came to us? Amen? Amen. All right. Well, it's good to have Brother Cantrell with us tonight, his wife. And our missionaries in Ecuador, we've supported them now for 4 or 5 years. And I think they were maybe one of the very first missionaries that came to our church when we got in this new building. And so we appreciate them and give Brother Cantrell some time to come on and preach to us. Come on, brother. And man, what a good job he's doing there in Ecuador. Amen.
Whew, man, what a perfect song to go with a message. God's awesome, amen. He knows what's going on all the time, and I'm glad He does, because I sure don't, amen. Turn over to Mark chapter 5. Man, we could go to Him, He came to us. That's exactly what He did with this guy that I'm fixing to preach about. Mark chapter 5, and when you find that, stand with me in respect to the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 5, I'll give you a little time to stretch out for just a minute. My wife's going to tell me when time's up for me. Amen. Let's read here. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, that's Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. Lord, myself, I'm nothing but a piece of trash. And so, God, I pray tonight that you put me by the wayside. You use me as a vessel, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your people. Lord, let the Holy Spirit walk up and down these aisles and prick hearts tonight. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that needs some help. Lord, maybe this message will help them. But God, help us to be soul winners. Help us to be concerned about souls. And Father, even those people we consider trash, God, they need you. And so we pray that we just would go out and win whoever we could to you. And Lord, you'll clean them up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I tell you what, it's good to be here tonight. But I'm ready to be back in Ecuador. My heart's there. Our ministry's there. And I'm excited about what's going on in Salinas. And I'm jealous of Fabricio already being there, amen. The guy's over there going to tear it up. But God's been good to us on our first term. And the reason we're there is for men just like this. And I nicknamed this guy Tomb Trash. That's what he was, amen. I mean, people just thought he was trash. He's demon-possessed, running around out in the mountains and cutting himself, cursing, and people going to bury their dead, and this guy would come out and harass them, and he was demon-possessed with up to 6,000 demons. Now, I was a wild boy as a teenager. I can't imagine being demon-possessed with 6,000 demons, can you? I mean, 6,000 demons. Night and day, this guy's tormented, cutting himself. But you know what? Jesus came where this guy couldn't go. Jesus crossed the sea for one man, and he was a Gentile. And Jesus crossed that sea for that one guy. Well, Ecuador is not a big country, only 15 million people. I think Jesus would have crossed the sea for them, amen. And he'll cross the sea for anybody. Hey, he doesn't even have to cross the sea. I heard Joel was here this morning, and that's a good kind of Joel, amen. Whew, I love Joel. We aggravate each other when we get around. And he's got the same song as I do on his. I'm going to have to talk to him about that, amen? No, I'm just kidding. Number one, the demoniac's condition. Verse 2 tells us that he was demon-possessed. We don't see much of that up here unless you're around a bunch of druggies. Now, you get in Latin America and Jamaica and places like that, you'll run into demon-possessed people. We've got a house called Caja de Brujas, which is House of Witches, that I have to pass going to Salinas. And it's full of witches. It was two-story, and I think they're building a third story. They got a lot of business. And we see a lot of demon possession down in Latin America. You don't see that here, but I believe in the coming years, if the Lord doesn't come back, you'll see a lot of it. Are you with me? Say amen. The maniac lived in a carved-out tomb to the dead high above the city. And you could hear him at night. He's like a wolf howling, ah! And he's cutting himself. I mean, he's just demon-possessed. It was a lonely home. Hey, without Christ, people are lonely. I mean, they're on the internet looking for other folks. Amen. I mean, they're searching for something to make them happy. Now, if you've done that, don't pay attention to what I said. I'm not gigging you on that. I'm just saying people are lonely without Christ. Amen. It was a sad home. I mean, he's amongst the dead. That's a sad home. Amen. It was a smelly home, the smell of death. I used to be a firefighter. I was also a soldier. I know the smell of death. It doesn't smell too good. And this guy's living there. But you know what? Worst of all, this was a home with no hope. No hope at all. And you know, that reminds me of homes here in the United States, homes in Ecuador, homes all over the world that have no hope. Why? Because they're the walking dead. They're living without Christ. They have no hope in their homes. Man, just down in Ecuador working with people, you see the homes and there's no hope in it. And then they get Jesus in the home and things begin to change. Amen. Are you with me? Say amen. Wow. His helplessness, we can see in verses 3 through 5. I'm not going to read that because of time. The maniac was in a helpless situation. Would you agree with me on that? He's in a helpless situation. Now, he got himself in his own mess like we do. Amen. I can look back and see 2,000 years ago as he was born, his dad was happy, his mom was happy. We've got a baby son, and they're trying to raise him. He begins to not listen. You young people ought to listen to your parents. Amen. Can I get some amens out of the kids? Get out of here, kid. Get out of here, preacher. Leave me alone. Listen, this was a normal kid, and somewhere along the line, he messed up. He decided he wasn't going to listen to his parents or anybody else. And pretty soon, the devil just moved on him. Wow. Helpless, helpless. That's the way kids are today and grown-ups are today without Christ. And the devil's just lead them down the path to destruction. They're in a helpless situation. Amen. You know, people try to help this guy. You know, they bound him with tethers. Oh, man, he's take him to the psychiatrist and everything else. But none of that worked. Amen. We see he was in a hopeless condition right there in verse 5. The maniac was in a hopeless situation. His torment was what? Continual. Night and day. I'm telling you, sleep deprivation. I've been on a mission before. Awake for 3 days. You begin to see things after 3 days. You don't need drugs. Amen. Whew. But anybody that goes in the mountain is in a survivalist, they'll tell you sleep deprivation and suffering from the cold. This guy was naked. He was sleep deprived. And boy, your hope just goes down and down and down. And that's the way we are without Christ. We're naked. Wow. I remember how it was being without Christ. It makes me sad. But man, I'm full of joy because I got the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know what's good about this story? This guy used to be tomb trash, but now he's the Messiah's messenger that we're going to see at the end of the story. He's a brother to us now. Amen. And that's what we need to do out here in the highways and hedges around this town and all around the world is get the gospel into the people's hands and get Christ in their heart. Amen. Psalms 121 verses 1 and 2 say this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Isn't that where it came from for this guy? Wow, my help cometh from who? The Lord. Doesn't come from the internet. Doesn't come from the newspaper. Doesn't come from the psychologist. Doesn't come from your buddy who's not in church. It comes from the Lord, amen? That's how we get messed up as Christians. We quit reading our Bible. That's got all the counseling you ever need right there. The Bible never gets old to me because something new jumps out all the time. And man, when I'm not reading my Bible, I can tell because I'm backsliding. Amen. Are you with me? Say amen. Number two, the demoniac's conversion. What an awesome God we serve that He can conquer 6,000 demons. That tells me the devil's just Rudy Poot. He's nothing. He's a piece of dust, a speck to God. Amen. We're on the winning side. We ought to be excited. Amen.
Time to go to church.
Are you with me? Say amen. Some of y'all already kicked me out of church already. Amen. His conversion was divine. Wow. Verses 8 through 10. It was a perfect conversion because it came from the perfect Son of God. Amen. Hebrews 5:9 says this, and being made perfect, He became the author of what? Sometimes salvation? Eternal salvation unto them that obey Him. Man, I'm saved forever. Hey, when I'm through this body, I'm going on up to heaven. Wow. Praise God. You can convert to Islam or any other religion, but it is not a divine conversion. It's just a conversion to man's religion. It doesn't hold nothing. By the way, I've read the Quran, and it's not a religion of peace. Not even part of the message, and that's free. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, not Muhammad, not Buddha, nor anybody else, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus can save us. Amen. Whew. I'm glad I am on the winning side. His conversion was dramatic. When was the last time you seen somebody with 6,000 demons get saved and then the pigs ran off into the ocean? I've never seen a conversion like that, but you know what? In Springtown, Texas, at Fundamental Baptist Church, I was home on leave, and the preacher took me in his office, Brother Wilson, and he showed me how to get saved, and that was dramatic. In heaven it was. Now, I didn't jump up, run around and shout and all that kind of stuff, but I tell you what, there's a party going on in heaven, amen, because hell lost another soul. No longer was I an occupant on my way to hell. Now, I was going to heaven and still am, amen. God's glorified when somebody gets saved. Amen. Whew. Heaven rejoices. They have a party. You think we throw parties here? It's nothing. Some of y'all are going to be shocked when you get to heaven. There's going to be a lot of shouting going on. Now, I don't know about you. I had these big visions of seeing Jesus and going up and hugging Him. But I'm going to tell you this. He is so holy. I believe I'll just fall at His feet. He's holy, folks. Holy. Holy God. God's people on earth should rejoice when people get saved. Amen? Man, I wish that kid would hurry up there at the altar and get saved. Man, I got a roast in the oven. What is that all about? Forget about the roast. What's the price of a soul? Amen? The person who gets saved changes. I love that. I changed. Amen? It leads others to curiosity to conversion. Man, when Kenny Cantrell got saved, people's heads popped up like little prairie dog point. What? That wild maniac? Kenny Cantrell, the preacher? He's in Ecuador? Ah. Then they see. And then they get curious, amen. Hey, listen, I've got a whole string of Catholics that I'm talking to right now. I went to a Catholic high school, and I'm praying every one of them will get saved. God can do it, amen. Get them out of that religion. When someone gets saved, you can see a definite change. The demoniac had a definite change, amen. He was calmed. Wow, at Jesus' feet. Whatever man in that area could not do, Jesus did. Wow. He was clothed. Wasn't running around naked anymore. When the crowd returned, they noticed that the man was clothed. What Christ had done on the inside was now evident on the outside. You know, over in Islamic lands, they believe that people that are like demon-possessed are crazy. You know, they walk around. They let them do whatever they want because they think they're blessed. Is that what our Bible says? I believe those guys are probably demon-possessed. Amen? Hey, old Mr. Tomb Trash was under control. He was under the influence of Jesus. Forget about the influence of drugs or alcohol or anything else. Get under the influence of Jesus. Amen. Number three, the demoniac's commission. You can see in verses 18 through 20. This man is no longer demoniac. He is our brother. I love that kind of stuff. Now, I like it. Hey, when somebody who's nice and kind and gentle and they're not saved and they do get saved, I love that too. Amen. But when you see someone who is like a wild person that gets saved and you think that person's never going to amount to anything and Jesus saves them and uses them, that is awesome to me. Amen. Wow. Messiah's messenger sees that Christ is leaving the land. He said, hey, Jesus, I want to go with you. That's the way it ought to be when we get saved, amen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? Some of your heart? All your heart. And with some of your soul? All your soul. And with all your mind? We're to love God, amen. And I believe this demoniac did. Let's go ahead and read verse 18 there again. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. I want to be with you, Jesus. I want to sit at your feet, Jesus. I want to learn from you, Jesus. That's the way we ought to be as modern day Christians. Amen. The master's will there in verse 19. Let's go ahead and read that. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. When a man is born again, Jesus becomes his master. I'm telling you, the devil does not make a good master. I remember driving up, how many knows where the Mansfield Highway is close to Kennedale? I used to drive up and down that thing with my 67 pickup with a keg in the back of it. The hose through the window. And that's the type of person I was. Fighter. Man, I love to fight. Kids used to hang out at Burger Hut and all that kind of. We used to fight, drink, and do all those kind of things. That sounds cool, man. It's not cool. It's lonely. If parties would be for real and tell you the truth, they'd tell you that next morning they're lonely. There's something missing in their life. Amen. Party with Jesus. And I don't mean drinking or anything else. I'm talking about getting your Bible, loving the Lord like you ought to. Amen. Wow. The Master's will. What's God's will for your life? Hey, God's will for my life is to be a missionary in Ecuador. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm not bragging because Jesus did it all. Amen. But I am following His will and my life's never been better. Amen. And that's the way this tomb trash was. He got cleaned up and now he's the Messiah's messenger. Look at verse 20. We're almost through. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Jesus said, wait a minute. Go to Bible college. Do this, do that, do this, do that. He just told them to go. Now, Bible college is good. I went. But we have too many excuses. Well, I stutter. Whoop-de-doop-de. Well, I'm deaf. I see a deaf man over there. Whoop-de-doop-de. That's no excuse, amen. Brother Bradley's deaf. He's a good friend of mine, and he is a missionary in Ecuador. We go out to the church all the time. That guy's fired up for the Lord. There's no excuse for you not to serve the Lord. If God's told you to do something, you better do it. You know what a lot of Christians do? They do it halfway. Well, I'll do part of it. That's not obedience, folks. It's awful quiet. Are you with me? Say amen. This dear brother in Christ was so excited. You know all he did was walk down that road going back to Decapolis, which Decapolis is a league of 10 cities. Jesus simply told him to go back to your friends. He was so excited. He's running over here. Hey, here's the meat market. Hey, here's how I got saved. How's the demoniac up there? He runs over here to the used camel salesman. Hey, I got saved. Amen. He's excited. He didn't whip out a Bible and have this lengthy thing. He just told them how he got saved. Amen? That's all you got to do to get people saved. Wow. Amen. When people may have doubted who he was, I bet he pulled up his sleeve. Look at me. I'm the demoniac. And other people testifying, that's him. I remember. He's scarred up all over. And yet he's cleaned up inside. Whew. Can you catch a glimpse of this guy's excitement? He's excited, folks. Now, somebody says, I got a Navy SEAL buddy, and me and him go out shooting. When he calls or I call and I say, hey, let's go shooting, I get excited. Or they say, let's go hunting. I get excited. But when somebody says, hey, let's go soul winning, I get excited. We need to get excited about the things of the Lord. Now, hunting and fishing and all that kind of stuff, I love to do it. I do it. But we ought to be excited about the things of the Lord. Amen. People getting saved. Wow, I just think about the power of Christ. Let me ask you a question. We're almost through. What value do you place upon the human soul? What value? God places a lot of value on it because He sent His Son here to die for us. See, it's going to cost you something to do soul winning. Amen? It will cost you some of your time to throw out the lifeline. Going on visitation will cost you some time. Stopping at the neighborhood store and talking to somebody is going to cost you some of your time. Stopping at work after work. Don't do it while you're supposed to be working. Amen? But when you have some time, talk to your coworkers. Soul winning is going to cost you some of your time. It will cost you some of your money to throw out the lifeline. It takes money to put gas in your car to go out and talk to other folks. Amen? It takes money for you to send me and my wife to Ecuador to win people to Christ. It takes time and it takes money. And that's what happened with Jesus. It took Him some time and some money to go across in that ship and talk to one man. See, the story, the reason I'm doing this, telling this, preaching this, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. I've seen God take prostitutes and use them. I've seen God take drug dealers and use them. I've seen God take all kinds of people and use them. And I better just quit there because of time. Amen? If God can use a wild man, He can use a shy man. If God can use an old man, He can use a crippled man. He can use a deaf man. He can use anybody. But He can't use somebody who's unwilling. Are you willing to tell others about Christ and sending missionaries across the field? Wow. How many of you would be mad if I was holding the lifeline and your child was drowning and I just stood there? Wow. I guess he's drowning. See, the world looks at us and they know we have the lifeline. We're just standing by the wayside. They're drowning. They're going to go to hell. Do we really care? Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank You for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit and preach. Thank You for the dear folks here at this church who give faithfully, Lord, in finances. Lord, they get on a bended knee and they pray for Kim and I. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that's been doubting their salvation. Lord, help them to make that right tonight. And Lord God, most of all, we thank You for Your precious Word, Your precious Son, and the precious eternal life that You've given to us, even though we don't deserve it. Now, God, be with us during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.